The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
All out war. Iran launches ballistic missiles at Tel Aviv in revenge for Israeli blitz. Defiant Israel vows more is on the way after strike on nuclear plants. And Trump warns Iranians to make a deal, quotes, before there's nothing left. Well, I'm joined by Greg Carlson, or I should say Greg Carlstrom, who is Middle East correspondent for The Economist, and he joins us from the Middle East. Greg, before we get into the analysis of the implications of all of this, can you bring us up to speed with what has happened overnight?
Well, there were at least four waves of Iranian ballistic missiles overnight fired at Israel. Sort of every couple of hours, they fired another few dozen missiles. Israeli authorities saying three people were killed, about 100 were injured by the handful of missiles that reached Israel and made it through Israel's missile defenses. Some of them obviously did not get through. Then on the other side, Israel has been carrying out these ongoing rounds of airstrikes in Iran. There's been another one just in the past couple of hours this morning, which the Israeli army says is aimed at air defenses in Tehran. So a wave of strikes focused on the Iranian capital.
And the way, as I said, the Daily Mail in Ireland today is characterizing it is as all-out war. Would that be the way you would view it?
I think that's a fair description. I mean, we've had, to some degree or another, an all-out war in the Middle East for about 20 months now, since October 7th. You've had Israel fighting at various points in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Yemen. So there has already been a big regional conflict. Obviously, now that has expanded further with the first ever direct war between Israel and Iran. And then there is a concern hanging over the region right now about how much further this is going to go. Will it pull in Gulf states, for example, like Saudi Arabia, like the UAE? Will they be targeted by Iran as a way of trying to put pressure indirectly on the Trump administration to restrain Israel, to try and pressure it into a ceasefire?
And militarily, how much capacity has Israel or has Iran to wage this war, and how successfully can the Iron Dome system defend against the kind of missile attacks they are likely to launch?
Iran, I would say it has three main tools at its disposal. The first is the one that we've seen overnight, the ballistic missile arsenal. It probably has about 2,000 missiles with the range to hit Israel. The army says it fired 150 or so last night, so close to 10% of Iran's arsenal. Some of those missiles may have already been blown up in Israeli airstrikes, or the launchers that would be used to launch them may have been blown up. So it's not clear Iran can use its entire arsenal, but it can continue to do what it did last night for at least a period of some days. That's one thing. The second tool is militias in the region. In the past, it would have relied on Hezbollah in Lebanon as its sort of first line of defense against Israeli strikes. It can't rely on Hezbollah now because of the war last year, because of how badly battered Hezbollah was fighting a war against Israel last year. And so Iran will lean on the Houthis in Yemen and perhaps on militias in Iraq to strike at Israel. And then the third option, again, is whether to widen the war, whether to strike at American targets in the Middle East or to strike at Gulf states and try to put pressure on the Israelis that way.
What then about the Israeli position? Because in a statement that I think many who have been following events in Gaza will see as drippingly ironic, the Israel Minister for Defense, Israel Katz, has said that the Iranian leadership had crossed a red line by firing at civilians and will pay a heavy price for it. What's the Israeli capacity to extract a heavy price?
It depends on how far they want to go. What they have struck at so far has been primarily military targets, the Iranian leadership, and then Iran's nuclear facilities. Some of the threats that we've heard from Israel in the past 24 hours have been that if Iran expands the war, Israel will start striking at oil refineries, for example, at ports, at critical infrastructure in Iran, which obviously would mean a lot of damage for the Iranian economy and a lot of civilian consequences in Iran. I think Israel does have the capacity to hit those things if it chooses to. But if it does that, Iran will see that as a market escalation. it might start targeting similar infrastructure in Israel. It might think about other ways to expand its war. So on both sides, there's a question of just how far they want to escalate right now.
Now, obviously, Greg, the Americans play a critical role in all of this. One of the suggestions that is being made is that the American abandonment of the deal that had been made with Iran to reduce nuclear experimentation and nuclear development, that may have led to where we are. Do you see any truth in that?
Well, I think you can certainly draw a line from there to here, from 2018 when Donald Trump abandoned that deal to Thursday night when the Israeli prime minister cited Iran's nuclear program as justification for launching this war in Iran. But I also think it's possible that even if America hadn't abandoned the deal, we'd still be in a similar situation right now. A lot of this for the Israeli government goes back to October 7th, goes back to the change in Israeli thinking that happened on October 7th, the unwillingness now to tolerate even hypothetical threats in the region, and then the changes in the region that have taken place. Israel, and particularly Prime Minister Netanyahu, has wanted to strike at Iran for many, many years, hasn't been able to do so because it was worried about Hezbollah in Lebanon, because it didn't have the ability to fly over Syrian airspace. All of that has changed since October 7th, and so conditions have enabled something that the Israeli government has long wanted to do but wasn't able to do.
And lastly, while we're on the topic of the U.S. role in reducing this conflict, they've been very clear that they were aware that something was being planned but didn't know the nature or the specifics of the attack and were not party to it. What, if any, role can they play at this point?
If the Americans want to restrain the Israelis, they can. Israel, even though it's not relying on American offensive help, is relying on American help to defend against Iranian missiles. And then, of course, they will rely on America for resupply, send bombs, to send other weapons that it's going to use in this conflict. So that gives America a lot of leverage over Israeli decision-making. What we've heard so far from Donald Trump is that it's almost a good cop, bad cop routine with the Israelis, where he has offered to the Iranians, you know, if you come back to the negotiating table, if you make a new nuclear deal with me on terms that I am amenable to, then I will restrain the Israelis. The problem with that approach, I think, is that Iran will see that not as a negotiation, but as a demand for capitulation, for surrender. And that is something that this Iranian government is not going to do. So I think so long as America is trying to use the Israeli war as a way to get back into diplomatic negotiations with Iran, I think they're not going to be very successful.
Greg, thanks very much for that analysis. That's Greg Karlstrom, who is Middle East correspondent for The Economist.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.